I remember years ago, right here, where we are right now, a family visited us from far away, from another country. And we just decided to pray a little. And in the course of the prayer, a little girl, how old was she then? Very, very little girl, in turn about 10, 11, said she heard a voice saying, "Trevor, prepare, anoint your house. Prepare and anoint your house." That is what she heard, a very small girl, and the parents were dead days. They didn't understand what was happening. I know what they did. They asked for a bottle of oil, and they went around anointing the house where we were living. But deep in my heart, I knew what God meant. He said, but I couldn't explain to them at that time because they were about leaving and they would not understand so easily. Prepare your house, anoint your house. That, do you know that we are houses? Our bodies are houses. For our bodies are houses, eternal habitations of the living God. Prepare your house. And I tell you, when the voice of the Spirit speaks, it's not just speaking to Trevor per se or to any man out there, but he's speaking generally. It's the same thing the Spirit will tell me, it's the same Spirit thing the Spirit will tell you. That same voice that spoke to that daughter, that little girl that day, is the same voice that would have spoken to somebody thousands of years ago. It's the same voice that will speak to somebody again and again and again. Prepare your house. Prepare that eternal habitation, because it is God's dwelling place. Praise God. Now, it is very important that we hear that voice of the Spirit always. That is the voice that spoke, Jesus spoke with in the days of his flesh. And that voice never changes. At times, people look at the wordings of Jesus as historical or something for the future, not realizing that the voice of the Spirit is the same today, yesterday, and forever. If the voice of the if Jesus Christ says, "Flee to the high mountains," he's not just referring to the people that were with him then. He's referring to us today. And the generation to come that hear the voice of the Spirit will still hear that voice saying, "Flee to the high mountains." When you begin to see the abomination, when you see the abomination that causes desolation, flee to the high mountains. It's not something that happened 2,000 years ago, when the Roman soldiers invaded, you know, somewhere, and when something happened. No. It's happening right now. As you hear the voice of the Spirit, and you begin to identify the abomination that causes desolation. Of course, you identify the abomination that causes desolation, by understanding that the Spirit of God imparts in you. Your eyes are open and you begin to see the abomination that causes desolation. Flee to the high mountains, ascend. Flee to the high mountains. Which mountains is he talking about? Zion. Flee to the high elevated places. You flee by ascending. You flee within you by ascending spiritually, awaken. You that sleep in the dust, awake. Leave that realm of vanity, leave that realm of mortality. Awake, ascend into the high mountains, and you will see the beauty of God that you truly are. See, the abomination that causes desolation, your houses are desolate, everything has gone wrong in your life. See it. It's none other than the man of the flesh, the old corrupt man, the one that is sitting in this temple. You know, this is a temple. This is the house of God. This is the temple of God. Praise God. See, but when we are walking in a mistaken identity, it's another thing that formulates itself in that body. Praise God. Paul talks about the man of sin, one that sits in the temple, claiming to be God. See, that is the mistaken consciousness that we walk in when we think that we are material creatures. So when you think you have your origin from below. But when you begin to see that abomination, that formulation, that, you know, Jesus Christ said, offspring of devils, vipers, serpents, it is the formulation, that formulation of human life that we have. And we nurtured all those years in ignorance, not knowing that there is only one, which is the Son of God. So we have to flee to the high mountains and begin to realize once more that this is the temple of God. Hallelujah. Prepare your house. Prepare that temple. Praise God. I'm going to read something from the book of John. From the words of Jesus. Deep words of Jesus, which are very, very important in our comprehending who we truly are and our relationship with God. Hallelujah. I'll start from John chapter 18, John chapter 14, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you what? You see me, because I live, you shall also live. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved by what? By my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Jesus said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, Jesus Christ is speaking deep things here, because when you read things like this without the aid of this, without the Spirit of God, when you just read these things with a natural mind, There's a tendency to think that you're going to meet Jesus somewhere outside. That the day comes when you're going to be face to face with a man called Jesus, holding him and, you know, loving him and, you know, telling him how much you waited for him and all that kind of stuff. When you read these things without deep spiritual understanding, you miss the point. Praise God. Jesus Christ is saying something here, revealing the end of the faith for those who hold on to the word of truth, those who keep the word, those who keep that incorruptible word, the word of truth. See, the word that was from the beginning, the word that is there eternal in the heavens. Heaven and earth passes away, but there is the word that remains eternal in the heavens, incorruptible word. And that is the word we are told to what to keep. Praise God. Because when we keep that word, that incorruptible word, then we can realize what he's saying. He says, in that day you will know that you are in me and I in you. What he's saying is that in that day you will know that you are me. Praise God. You see, when he says he manifests himself to us, it's not by we seeing a Jesus coming from without. It is rather our awakening to the reality that we are him. We are what? Son of God. Sons of God, Son of God. This is what the Father simply desires to awaken his children to. That they are what? Children of the living God. Children of the incorruptible God. Children of the resurrection. Praise God. We are sons of God. So he says, when you keep my words, you continue my words. See, you'll be loved by the Father, and we will come unto that man, and we will make our abode with that man. Meaning that you become the dwelling place of what? Of God. Of course, when you hear these things again, you think that probably God is going to come from without to come and stay with you or come and live with you. See, but the truth is that we have always been the temple of God. The truth is that we have always been the habitation of God. But how can a man realize these things once more? It's by simply applying these words that you are hearing today, exercising yourself in truth, keeping this word, and you will know the truth that you are the temple of God, you are the eternal habitation of God. I and the Father are one. If you keep my words, you realize this great sacred mystery. Praise God, of our lives hidden in Christ in God. See, we realize that God dwells in us, that we are the habitations of God. And I tell you, if God be with us, what can be against us? Nothing. So you can see that we miss the mark when we go about running left, right, center, thinking that something without you can kind of save you. When you think the things of this world can save you, they cannot save you. The only thing that can save you is for you to know this great mystery that you are hearing today and to awaken to it. This is the eternal salvation of God. Because God's dwelling place is eternal in the heavens. It never passes away. Will God live in temples made with hands? Will God do that? Will God live in temples? Physical structures made with hands? No. God is spirit. God is spirit, and the spirit cannot live in material structures. It is impossible. So you can see all the big projects we see up and down. Somewhere along the in Milan, we have the big cathedral, very beautiful place. And you can see how they put in many years, probably hundreds of years of work to build up that grand structure. And what is the motivating force within it? They think that probably God will kind of dwell there. It will be a kind of house of God. See, but in reality, God does not dwell in physical structures. If you keep my words, we will come and make our abode with you. In other words, if you keep my words, you will realize that you are what? The temple of God. You will awaken to this reality. This is the salvation of God. If God be for me, who can be against me? Praise God. That was the temple of God functioning in Jesus as he went about healing. The Father dwells in me. Isn't it what Jesus Christ says? It is Father in me that does the what? The works. When he says the Father in me, it's God in me that does the works. That means this thing was working for Jesus. What we just read was working for Jesus. The Father dwelt in him. That consciousness of the Father and the Son dwelt in Jesus. He knew and walked in this sacred mystery. Praise God. And the ministry today is to awaken man to the reality that he is the eternal temple of God. Jesus Christ told the people who were the onlookers in those days, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. They did not realize that he was speaking about this temple here, this physical temple, this body of his, which is actually the temple of God. And to this very day, it is what? The temple of God. Jesus Christ has left this world. He has left this material realm, this physical realm. But eternally in the heavens, that body still functions as the temple of God. Praise God. We're talking here about a temple that is not made with hands. The physical hands of men. We're speaking here about a temple eternal in the heavens that can never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, will not pass away. Neither does God's temple pass away. Praise God. This physical outer world, this body, and these things that we live in, they dissolve, they pass away with time. The physical body, the outer body pass away with time. But the inner body, which is the temple of God, does not pass away. That is the temple not made with hands. Praise God. Now we saw over the course of history, in the days of old, before the appearing of Jesus, Jesus Christ represents the embodiment of the Spirit of God. He is the embodiment of God. When he spoke truth. For the very first time recorded in the world, truth came out of the mouth of a man. We see in the days of old, you have Moses, Solomon, and the various kings who built temples and structures, tabernacles, you know, as a kind of dwelling place for God. But let us try to understand what happened in those days. It's good to have a clear understanding what happened. First of all, it is recorded that Moses went up to the mountain, Mount Sinai, to receive the tabernacle, the laws, the commandments of God, to receive all the various laws and everything. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that. But when he ascended the mountain of Sinai, the first thing God says to Moses was what? Tell your people to build me a what? A tabernacle. Tell your people to do what? Build me a temple. Tell your people to build me a dwelling place. A place where I can what? Dwell in the midst of them. Why do you think God started off with that kind of statement? Praise God. In the first place, we must understand that you cannot climb any mountain anywhere in the world to see God anywhere. If you want to see God, you must what? Ascend up spiritually. If you want to see God, is there. God is always present everywhere. It's within you, without you, and it fills all in all. If you want to hear God the way Moses heard God, you have to climb up spiritually, ascend spiritually. And you hear him speak. He's always speaking. The Spirit is always speaking. Praise God. When you go up there, you hear trumpet sounds, and you know when the glory cloud came down on Sinai, there was sound of trumpets, you know, wind, noise, and all that is the voice of the Spirit. Praise God. And the first thing that God says to Moses is, build me a temple, build me a tabernacle, a habitation. Now, what do you think God was saying to Moses there? It's no different from what the gospel. Look, Jesus Christ says that Moses wrote about me. Those things that happened there were all testifying of what? Of the Son of God. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son. When God opened the mouth to speak to Moses, he was given what? The only begotten Son. Because the begotten Son is what? Is the temple of God. Is the habitation of God. He was simply testifying of the Christ. But of course, at that time, they never understood what God was talking about. At that time, there's no way they could understand it. It was Jesus Christ who came first with a true revelation that I am that temple of God. I am that tabernacle of God. I am the true eternal place of God. The Israelites walked in shadows. When you walk in a shadow, you are not seeing the real thing. You see, when you walk in a shadow, you are not seeing the real thing. See, the shadow is simply an image of that which is obstructed by the light. Isn't it? When you have an object before the light, it obstructs the light, so you are not seeing the real thing, you are simply seeing the shadow. And of course, that thing that produces the shadow is the carnal mind. The carnal mind is the thing that blocks the ray, the revelation of the Spirit, the truth, from the comprehension of men, so that men only just see a material world. Praise God. So if I, when God was saying to Moses, build me a tabernacle that I may dwell, God was speaking about the Son of God. Praise God. And when Moses obeyed God, what happened? The Bible says that when he completed the tabernacle, when he had built it, completed everything, the glory of God descended that inside that tabernacle and filled the tabernacle of God. So that there was no space, no breathing space. Even Moses could not enter into that place to minister because it was so enveloped with the glory, the thick presence of God, like clouds. Why? Because he had prepared the temple of God. People don't realize that this is the same sign that happened when Jesus Christ was baptized. See, when God came down into the, with the glory cloud into the tabernacle, what he was saying is that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In whom? In whom? In him. Inside of him, I am well pleased. That is what God was showing when he descended into the tabernacle of Moses. He was saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Of course, nobody at that time could have understood that. Praise God. When Jesus Christ entered into the water, was baptized, and came out of the water, what happened? The dove, you know, it wasn't a dove. It was the glory of God. That same glory cloud descending as a dove. You see how a dove descends gradually, you know, from flight? It descended upon him as a dove. And there was a voice, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, Jesus had prepared himself. He had obeyed the word of God, which says what? Die to yourself. Jesus Christ had awoken to newness of life. As he came out of that water, the old man was gone by faith. Of course, it doesn't mean if you go out there to dip yourself into the Lake Michigan or to some kind of river out there, or if you go out to Israel to kind of baptize yourself in the River Jordan, it will work, brethren. Just forget that. Baptism has got nothing to do with physical immersion in water. All these things are simply faith. Amen. We are baptized into the death of our Lord Jesus, which is faith. It means an end to that outer life, the world, the life we live after the flesh in ignorance. That's all. And I tell you, this is the only thing that God requires of his sons, that they return from the vanities of this age and awaken to truth. Because your life in the flesh, the outer life you live, is of what? Of no good. You have to begin to look inwardly now and begin to rediscover who you are. Praise God. When Solomon completed the temple, what happened? When he finished the temple, what happened? Did that same glory of God enter in and fill that temple? So that the priests and the ministers could not enter into to minister in that temple. All these things were shadows of the glory of Christ. Praise God. That is what God did then and is doing right now. But to we who hear truth, we hear it in a spiritual dimension. See, there are projects out there. People are still trying to build the temple of God. They want to make a temple that is like that same temple in the days of old. But those things will not work. Because in the first place, God was never in those kind of things. So we are the true temple of God. We are the eternal dwelling place of God. If you keep my words, and my words abide in you, I and my Father will come and make our abode in you. is the consciousness of the Christ, the Father and the Son in you. The fellowship is awakening in you. Hallelujah. Within you is the glory of God. The glory cloud of God is within you. That eternal life of God is within you. Nested deep inside the tabernacle of God and inside the temple of God, you see, was that light, that presence, see, that was always there. It never faded. Within every man, there is that same life that never fades. But we have to rediscover it. Because if you look from without, you cannot even see the beauty. You can't see the glory. You must look within you. This is the secret of God concealed in man. Paul says, don't you know that you are the temple of God? Don't you know? Don't you know that you are the temple of God? Him that destroys the temple of God, he will God destroy. It doesn't mean that God is coming somewhere to kill you or to whatever. It's simply saying that you go through the hell and all the suffering, and you are dying and dying and dying because you do not realize that you are the temple of God. Praise God. We must awaken once more and begin to function as the temple of God. Because we are not our own. As men, anyway. We are not independent beings of God. Hallelujah. This body belongs to the Christ, who is God. So our instruments, our body should be instruments of service to God. Hallelujah. We are the temples of the eternal Spirit of God. This temple has to be put to use for the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God alone. Hallelujah. Let God be glorified and exalted in this temple which we are. Keep ourselves in the incorruptible word. Let us unite ourselves once more with the name of the Lord. Praise God. When the children of Israel came back from exile in the days of old, from exile in Babylon and all of that, when they had the great, you know, project, Zechariah, Haggai, and co. had the same project to raise up the temple of God. See, the word of God to the prophets, to the men in charge of that project was, move to the high mountains and go and bring materials to build my house. See, don't stay there in your houses, sleeping and, you know, in your little houses as men, continuing in your works as men, enjoying your lives as men, while my temple remains abandoned. Go to work in my temple. See it? And you will see how blessed you will become. You will see the beauty that you are. Bring the tithes to my storehouse. Hallelujah. Bring the sacrifice, the offerings to my storehouse. And I will do what? To rebuke the devourer, the devil, for my name's sake. Because when people hear this, they talk of tithes. How you will give them money, isn't it? Everywhere you go today, they use these scriptures to blackmail the brethren. Bring tithes to the house of God. You are robbing God. Do you know how you rob God? You rob God by not allowing this temple function as the temple of God. See, and that is why some of us are, you know, corruption feeds on us. Debt feeds on us. Praise God. See, but if you begin to bring bringing, now the thing that you can bring to the house of God is to sacrifice yourself. See it on the altar and bring yourself as an offering to God for God's service. See, that is your tithe that you can pay. Your tithe is yourself. You give yourself wholly to the service of God. Praise God. And then the windows of heaven will be open. You realize your eternal abundant blessings in God. Submit yourself to the man of the Spirit. And I will rebuke the devourer. I'll give you the victory over death. I'll give you the victory over sorrow, over pain. I'll give you immortality. The devil will have no power over you anymore. Death has no more hold over you. Praise God. This temple begins to function once more. The glory of God begins to be seen from this temple once more. Hallelujah. People will begin to see the beauty that you are. Praise God. Now this is how it worked for Jesus. Jesus Christ had paid his own tithe. As a man, he had laid down his life. As an offering unto God. He says, no longer I, Jesus of Nazareth. It's no longer I, daughter of Mary, and son of Mary, son of Joseph. It's not I, the Son of God. It's not I who has been from the beginning of the world. I am not of this world. He had let go of his life in this world so that he could function as the temple of the eternal Spirit of God. Praise God. That is why he could declare, I am the Father and one. Everything we do today is by faith. Praise God. We are baptized into Christ by faith. Hallelujah. We commune with Christ by faith. Commune with the word of truth. Inside the tabernacle, there was the table of showbread, the golden lampstands, and the altar of incense. See, the golden table with unleavened bread represents the word of truth. Now you see, unleavened bread, what does it speak of? Bread without yeast, without the lies of this age. Pure words of God. We have to fellowship with the word, continue in the word. It brings remembrance of the Christ in you. Continue in this fellowship. Abide in me. That was the golden lampstand with seven branches. Seven branches, which are the seven churches, which are in Christ, which abide in Christ. See, without the seven branches, there is no church. And without the stem, there is no church. There is no Christ. There is one indivisible body. Abide in me. Abide in spirit. Praise God. Anything you ask the Father, it shall be done for you. That is the power of God that is restored to the saints. The all power. As they begin to unite once more with truth. Hallelujah. All these things are there in the Bible to testify of Christ in us. All these things are there in the Bible to lead us back into truth. Many, many witnesses we have all over the place, even in nature. Look outside. Everything is testifying of Christ, of the life beyond the veil. There's a life in the spirit. There is rich life in the spirit. that men are unaware of. There is a realm called paradise. A realm where you can walk in true liberty, in righteousness, in the glory and in the power of God. It is present, and but every man has to rediscover it. You know, as Jesus Christ walked upon the earth, you know he was in paradise. As he walked here upon the earth, he was in paradise. Hallelujah. See, that was the Garden of Eden revealed. That was the New Jerusalem revealed. That was the temple of God revealed. That was the word from the beginning. Hallelujah. Don't you know you are the temple of God? Why do you go about crying? Why do you go about suffering? Why do you go about living in fear and in torments? Everything is disintegrating. Your body is disintegrating. Your health is failing. Everything is failing. Don't you know that you are the temple of God? Awake and begin to function right now by faith as the temple of God. Hallelujah. We are the eternal dwelling places of God. So all these things come to us today simply because God wants us to know the mystery of the Son of God, who is the eternal habitation of God, and that is you. To become a dwelling place of God, we must allow the word of truth take a hold on us. We must. There is no way behind or without. We must exercise ourselves daily in remembrance. 6 situations around us, we always try to come and drown this revelation. But the strong. The strong. Ezekiel saw a revelation of the temple of God in the latter days. In the last days. Now when he says the latter days, the last days, what does it mean? The spirit of, when the Spirit of God says the last days, it doesn't mean it the way the men say it today in this world. End of the world. 2012. Maya calendar. The world will end. And many of these things have been there over the years. They are not new. You see, you know how many times the world has tried to end? Praise God. People make references to disasters, economic problems, but I tell you, these things have always been. There have always been earthquakes, there have always been wars, there have always been disasters, and these things will always be in the realm of man. So Ezekiel saw the vision of the latter days. When you are in the last days, the latter days, in the last days, when you begin to hear truth, when you are in the ascension, it means your last days as a man, your last days in this world of ignorance. Now the world represents ignorance of God. The world represents separation from God. Without wasting time, let us rush to Ezekiel chapter 47. At times I want to read these things because I realize not everybody knows these scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 47 verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood towards the east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the outer gate by the way that looked eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to my knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swimming, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other side. Then said he unto me, these waters issued out towards the east country, and go down into the river, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, which whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come hither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live wherever the river cometh. Praise God. Now we see here an example of the temple, the true eternal temple of God in function in the latter days. Ezekiel was seeing this vision. There are many projects. People are ahead of a project. People are thinking of constructing this kind of temple somewhere in the Middle East, thinking that they will be fulfilling the prophecy of God. But these things is not real. Praise God. All these things is fulfilled in the lives of those who are waking to the reality that they are that temple of God. They are the eternal dwelling place of God. Praise God. These rivers that flowed out of the house of God in Ezekiel chapter 47 flowed out of Jesus in the days of his ministry. Like we have said, this is the rivers that flow, the current, the torrent of dunamis, the torrent of love that flowed, that brought healing to the people that would touch his garments. It was just enough to touch his garments. It was just enough to contact him, and they were healed. They were contacting the essence of the living God. See, torrents from the living God. Torrents from the living God. Hallelujah. And this is the same thing that functioned in Paul when Paul became illumined. It functioned in Peter when Peter became illumined. They became functioning temples of God. Hallelujah. Now this is our portion today. Those who keep the word, these ones realize themselves as the eternal dwelling place of God. God dwells in you eternally. You are his habitation forever and forever. Though the heavens and the earth below pass away, that temple remains forever, even as God remains forever. They shall be changed, they shall be dissolved, they shall be destroyed, they shall die off. But you, O Lord God, eternal, abide forever. From generation to generation, you are the same. Never ever changing. Praise God. So let us wake into this mystery today. Hallelujah. Wake into this reality. I am the eternal habitation, the dwelling place of God. Hallelujah. The Father and Son dwell in me. Hallelujah. That is the consciousness I walk in. That is what occupies this structure, this framework that you see. Hallelujah. God bless you. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. As we conclude the prayers, I saw a passage in the form of a cone. You could see from the beginning and inside the end of the tip of the cone. Then inside there was a whirlwind. Then at the beginning of the entrance to enter this passage, like a cone, there was a ribbon being decorated, different colors being placed at the beginning of the entrance of this passage that looks in the form of a cone. Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. The Lord showed our sister a passageway shaped like a cone. See, a passageway with a whirlwind blowing within that passageway. Obviously, this is a passageway into the inner courts of God, a passageway into life, a passageway into the spirit. See, the whirlwind of God comes to gather his people back into the spirit. You remember, it's the same whirlwind that gathered Elijah. Remember when Elijah was taken up? It was a whirlwind that took him up. Praise God. The whirlwind symbolically is the spirit of God. And what it does is to lift us, it lifts a man up from the earth and lead him through that narrow path into God's kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let this thing be fulfilled in the life of every man. Be blessed, brethren. God bless. Amen.